coming in back with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for all the blessings you give us, Lord. I'm sure, miss them a lot of times, Lord, when you're carrying us, as we've always read about in that poem, Lord. Father, we are so thankful that you're so graceful to us. And Lord, most of all, that you let the word live to us, Lord. And that when we hear it, there is a sounding board, Lord. There's prepared ground for it to go into. And we owe all that to you, Lord. And we're so thankful. And we pray that you'll help us tonight in the service and speak to us. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I was sitting back there looking at that picture. Brother Don has a picture of Brother Tiny up. And I think about him every once in a while. And I happen to remember I had a dream about Brother Tiny when he was in the hospital, when he was sick in the hospital. I didn't know what it meant at the time, but I dreamed I went to see him, and as I was getting close to the hospital doors, all of a sudden the hospital doors just slammed open and just people started pouring out of the doors. And I'm like, wow. So I just stepped back a little bit and just let them come, and after a minute they stopped and the doors started to shut back. And when it did, Brother Tiny was standing behind the door on the right with his suit on. And I looked at him, I said, are you trying to sneak out of here? And he just grinned at me, and he walked past me, and I woke up. And at the time, I had no idea that he'd left. He passed. You know, we didn't know that he died. They unplugged the machine later on, but I'm assuming that's what that dream meant. I don't know. But at the time, I had no idea. I thought maybe it meant he was coming home. So there's no way to know what a dream is unless you're like Daniel and you can, or was it Daniel that interpreted the dreams? Yeah, so I didn't know what it meant at the time. So we miss Brother Tiny, but it's been so many years ago, but we still miss him. And I used to go over and work on his computer, and he had a whole wall full of reel-to-reel tapes still. And he had a reel-to-reel player, and he wanted me to fix that player. And just because I was an electronics person didn't mean I could fix it. I tried, but I couldn't fix it. But I appreciate that desire to listen to the word. You know, it was back when we still had cassette tapes and stuff. I mean, this has been, I was 20-something, so it's nearly 30 years ago. So I appreciate the Lord and how he's given it to us in our hand, just handed it to us now, all filtered and clean, and you can hear it so nice. I mean, there's some tapes you can hear Brother Branham do this, you know, shuffle his papers on the desk in the front. So I appreciate so much this message. So I said I thought we'd get over that hump on Sunday, but, and I shouldn't call it a hump. I just felt like I've been there for a while, and I think there's one more, and not for the oneness series, but just for that subject about faith and stuff. And this is going at it from a little different. I tried to get away from this subject, and I couldn't. So, ever how simple it is, or ever how maybe you've heard it before, that's okay, because for some reason he wanted me to say it. He wanted me to do it, so I'm doing it. And this first scripture here, Romans, when I first become a Christian and started to follow after him as serious as I could, I happened to hit this Romans 8. I read that and would just sit and cry thinking about the things that are in there and the things that Brother Branham brought out. And I'll go back to it every so often. And Brother Branham said whenever he got to feeling blue, he'd go to Romans 4. And so I need to go read on that sometimes. But this one, it stirred me, and I woke up thinking about this to be conformed this morning. And so let's read this out of the Romans here. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So if you've been called to his purpose, then everything's working for you. Everything's falling in place for you. It's happening for you. Moreover, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So we've been talking about that predestination a lot. And so he put it in you, that stone that he put in you, that predestination was so that you would be conformed to his son, to the image of his son. And now there's another scripture where it says, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. It's the same thing. It's no different. And it's just God's men sounding it out and talking about it. It's like Brother Branham in the message, Word of Faith, Works as Faith Expressed. He takes Timothy talking about Abraham, and he takes Paul talking about Abraham, and it looks like they're talking about different things. And Brother Branham said they're talking about the exact same thing. And so it's just how God uses these men to say things. And so, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? For God, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son. Now he's telling you about this one that's for you. He spared not his own son. He's serious about the work he's doing and this purpose that he's called them to. He spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So if he would not spare him, if he was that, felt that strong about his purpose and what he wanted to do, then how much more does he feel about giving us all things through him? That was his purpose to begin with. That's what that first verse talks about. You're called according to his purpose. And so conformed, I had a little definition there, but conformed means to make something like something else. And if you go back and look at the Old English, it means formed together. And so it's a interesting word. And Brother Branham doesn't actually use that word a whole lot, but he does talk about it. So let's look in. So we might jump around a little bit tonight, but I want you to know that we're still talking about conformed to his image the whole time. That's what we're talking about, being conformed to his image by predestination. All right. The revelation of Jesus Christ. We now come to a conclusion, such a conclusion as we have already found in the Word. As much as we believe in trying to find the oldest and the best manuscripts to get the best record of the word possible, we will never get the true meaning of it by study and comparison of scriptures, sincere as we may be. So that is not going to make us conformed to his image, no matter how much we study. No matter how much we look at it, no matter how sincere we are, that's not going to make us conform to his image. It will take a revelation from God to bring it out. That is exactly what Paul said, which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth. 1 Corinthians 2:15. Now listen to this close. The true revelation, what is true revelation, is God interpreting his own word by vindicating what's promised. So revelation is when God actually brings it to pass. We done read that about God interpreting his own word. So being conformed to his image is God's job. He is conforming us. He's predestinated it to happen. He's already wrote it out. And when he applies his spirit to it, it happens. So let's go into this message called Oddball. Heavenly Father, as the little stories of experiences, and sometimes they happen for a reason. He's been telling stories up to this point in the message, talking about things, giving examples. And it's yet, as rude as it is, yet we understand it in the language that it happened in. So we thank thee tonight, Lord, that God can house himself in us. We thank you, Lord, because that was a time that that could not be. But now he can house himself in us. We're thankful that there was a propitiation made. The blood of the righteous one, Jesus, who was the fullness of God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that he laid down his precious life, not taken from him, but willingly laid it down. Now, when we talk about having that same spirit as Christ, talking about having his wife, that we are his wife and that we have his life in us, you see what a serious claim that is. It ain't one that you just make lightly, okay? It's not, because here he was willing to lay down his life at 33 years old. And not only did he lay it down at 33, he spent all of it he had for God's kingdom. And so if you got that Spirit of God in you, that's what's going to happen. We're going to spend it for him. And when it says eternal life is living for others, it's not kidding. It's not playing around. You know, sometimes we pick the oddest things to fixate on. We'll go get, having heard the marriage and divorce messages there on the forum the other day, it seems that they fixate on marriage and divorce so strong, and they'll go to infinite details to lay it all out. And buddy, if you say one word that sounds a little bit like you're disagreeing with them, you're just a terrible person. But yet, when he says these kinds of things right here, that we say that we have the life of Christ, and Brother Ram said, if you have it, you have the life of Beethoven, you can't help but act like Beethoven. You're going to be Beethoven. You won't have a choice. Everything in you is making that choice. And when we claim to have this, we claim to be his bride. I hear that term used so loosely around the message. I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. Is that right? Why can't I see your husband? That's what I want to ask him. If you're the bride of Jesus Christ, why is it your husband on display? You know, Brother Branham gives an example later on, and he says people talk about having faith. He said, well, it's like people saying, a man saying, I have a wife. And he says, well, where is she? Well, I don't know where she's at. Well, then if you can't show me your wife, you don't have one. But you're claiming to have one. And so you can't claim to have Christ unless Christ is in you claiming it. But there's a whole lot of impersonation that goes on. And I'm sure that all of us have been guilty of it at some point in our life. But if we think we have the place that we're going to be that takes this rapture, I think we better think real seriously about that. Because this word is everything to us. And every bit of it, not just some of it, not just fixate on some of it, you know, it's all of it. I'm not mad. If I sound mad, I'm not mad. I don't mean to be like, y'all are this way and I'm not. I don't mean that. Being in this position of ministering all the time like this, it's made me reconsider every little part of my life.
Amen.
And because I realize even a person that gets up here one time and ministers to you, I'm responsible for that. I'll stand responsible for that in the judgment if I tell you something wrong. And I can tell you right now, I'd rather die than do that. But I don't want to
as we'll get to in a minute, when Brother Branham talks about Paul, I don't want to be the one that comes and explains it to you real good. I don't want to be that person, not unless it's by the Holy Ghost. And so we'll read that here in just a minute. Because explaining it to you really good, and you say, oh, Chris, I understand that now. Well, do we? Do we really? Because when you understand that you're part of God, you don't have to think about it. You just are part of God. Like Brother Branham said about being grafted in that tree. Those branches that are grafted in there, and they weren't predestinated to put forth a new limb. They're not part of that new limb that goes forth. Those ones that come forth out of that tree, they all put forth their life. And the ones that's going to be God are the ones that were in it, predestinated in it. All right. And the oddball, he but willingly laid it down that we might enjoy him in the fullness of his presence. See, they couldn't do that. They couldn't enjoy him in the fullness of his presence. They didn't even understand what he was saying half the time. They were just going to stay around, though, because something in them kept them from leaving. But they didn't understand him. He become us, so we might become him. They might enjoy him in the fullness of his presence, in the Shekinah glory that he lived in. He come and give it freely so that we can live in that Shekinah glory. That our lives, that our souls might be sanctified with that blood, that the great Holy Spirit itself could live in us. And we become teachers and prophets and so forth to the people, to those, Lord, who are needy. Gifts of God. Needy gifts of God. God himself manifesting. So all these people that have these ministries, no matter what the ministry is, Brother Bram said, even back when they were speaking in tongues, he said that when somebody spoke in tongues and somebody interpreted, that was a ministry to the church, and the church needed to hear it. And they needed to, if it had come and it was found to be right, it needed to be brought and given to the church. And so I'm talking about God himself manifesting these. That's what he's talking about. God himself manifesting, glowing out the great gifts of God. See, we see a prophet, we see a man standing here, but behind that's the God glowing out. It's God glowing out that gift to us in the presence of this modern age. And the rude expression, Lord, of being a nut. And we know that in this day, that it takes some time when the world gets in a rut like the church is today, just joining new churches and new denominations, a man who comes forth with the word is considered a nut, an insane person. As the great apostle Paul, who was trained to be a theologian, a priest, and yet he said he become a fool for the glory of God. He forsook his education that the people might listen to his high polished words. And he said he come not with enchanting words and wisdom of men, that their faith would be in such. It's not in how well we can explain it and lay it out and give it to the people. Not that we're not supposed to do that, but that's not where it's at. The word is living. It's living. It's something that God is doing all the time. And until we quit thinking that we got something to do with it, it's always going to be messed up. It's always going to be not right. We're not there anymore. We don't have anything to do with it anymore. He's not dealing with the flesh no more. He said, he come not with enticing words and wisdom of man, that their faith would be in such. How the church has turned to that today. But that's what they've turned to anyway. Even though Paul told them he didn't come that way, that's what they've turned to anyway. Because it's not God in them that's turning to that. It's the man that's doing it, and it's the man that's turning to it. You see what's happening. I know y'all know these things, but sometimes if you don't point it out and make it obvious, sometimes it don't occur to people. So I'm just pointing it out. How the church has turned to this today, as he prophesied, after my departure, wolves will enter in, not sparing the flock. He said, he come to them in power and manifestations of the Holy Spirit, that their faith would be in God. And Brother Bram said that that coming in power of and manifestations was that Paul was the Word. He wasn't just talking about the Word. He was the Word. And so that was the difference. Brother and sister, we're living in an age that we're not even just part of the Word no more. It's all of the Word. And how that ought to have an effect on God's people. How the church has turned to that today. All right, paragraph 104. And so we do today, Lord. There is people sitting here that's considered crazy because they're ready to trust God for their healing. You think about that. For their eternal destination. Placing their reputation at stake in worship to Him. Thanking Him. Praising Him, giving freedom to their spirit to worship God. They're considered crazy. But you said that the foolishness of God, if we're fools, was stronger and wiser than the wisdom of man. For man by wisdom knowed not God. You can't know Him by wisdom. But through the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God to save them that were savable. We pray, God, that the great author of this word will come tonight and heal the sick, save the lost. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now he goes into this example. I am likening God so that you won't be mixed up in what I've said today. God is a great diamond, the eternal. And when a diamond is brought out of the blue stones of Africa, I've been in the mines and watched them in there, how they process this and get the diamonds out, how they go through the crusher and the great blue fire diamonds, black diamonds come out. And they have not much form, any certain form. They're just a great stone. And really, they have no fire in them at the time. They're just a diamond stone. Round, smooth, out, a lot of them. But this diamond must be cut. Now, it's against the law to have one that's not being cut. Must be cut. And when you have to have a receipt where you bought it, because there is millions of dollars in them. And I'm liking God to that diamond. How a diamond is cut so that it will reflect what's on the inside of it. The fire that's in the diamond, and it has to be cut to every little way, every little shape, 3 points. But the 3 points, put the 3 points to a diamond, and light against a 3-point object will give 7 colors. See, making 7 colors. And now you notice God was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and he was cut and bruised that great diamond that he might reflect the gifts to the church. You see how he's taking and talking about, he just talked about the Holy Spirit and bringing the Holy Spirit to us. Now he's likening it to a diamond, bringing it to us. And it isn't the light, because the light must return back when the sun is off of it to where it has been cut from. But every little piece that comes from that chipping is not destroyed. So everyone that comes off that great diamond isn't thrown away. It's put to use. Many of them are made into Victrola needles to play records. And those needles bring forth That's what's been chipped from the diamond brings forth music that's been canned into a record. Isn't that pretty? That's a pretty example that he's given about taking a diamond, putting it in the head of that record player, and letting it go over the top of the humps in the record, and that reproduces the sound. When you put the diamond to what's been stored in there, think about it, predestination. When you take the diamond, which is Christ, and you put it to the predestination, what does it bring forth? It brings forth life. And that's what he's talking about. And I hope you see what I mean. The chip from Christ, the gift from Christ, put upon the Bible, speaks out the hidden mysteries of God to the believer. He knows the secret of the heart. He knows every person. Do you believe that? It would not be the diamond saying, "You see what I am?" It's what he came from. The diamond is a diamond because he's off of a diamond. And that's the way the gift of the Spirit is to the person. It's part of the diamond. It's sent and been brought down and brought into a gift to interpret, to preach, to teach. There's five spiritual gifts: apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. And they're all for the edifying of the body of Christ. And just as sure as there is teachers, pastors, there's got to be prophets. Now, these are all chips off the diamonds he's talking about. We know that. And we believe that God is to be manifested in the last day among his people. Taking that prophet chip and applying it to the word, to bring this word into being among these his people, to the elect seed, according to the Bible, in the form of prophet. That's exactly with the word. Not that the man is God, but the gift is God. And that's the needle. Now, a pen won't play that record right. A regular sewing pen won't play it right. But the diamond is the best. It brings it out clear. A diamond pointed needle. And may God tonight, your record of life, talking about predestination now, whatever that's wrong with you, whatever that you're desiring from God, may the great master who holds a needle in his hand, he's got the prophet in his hand, may he put it upon your life and reveal to us what you're here for. And what you want, then we'll know that he's here. Amen. So let's move on to, I just wanted you to realize, look at that, how he's talking about predestination and how the prophet in God's hand applied to that predestination is the same as Jesus when he talked to that little woman at the well. And what he said and what he done went down to that predestination and struck her. It's the same thing for every age. The messenger for every age, the prophet for this age, it's the same thing. And all the little diamonds off of that. Yes, that's exact. In a way that's right. But see, it isn't all of it. See, you'll have your eyes opened. I cut off some more there where he was talking about Eve. But see, God has said, and that settles it, the word. God said it, that's enough. See, it started with just a little misconstruing of the word. And the same thing, it's ending the same way. It started way back yonder, all this mess that we got. Started way back there by misconstruing one word. And she couldn't be the image then. She couldn't be conformed to the image then. There was no way. Not unless somebody come and died. Notice a daughter, and he says it's happening now again. People misconstruing it, and they can't be conformed. It's the same thing as saying that they're making the word of no effect. Notice a daughter is a product of a mother and father by a union. Now, here is something shocking. But death, physical death, is the uniting of Mother Eve and Satan. That brought physical death. Together, by disbelieving God's word. Before anything ever happened, she disbelieved it. And that brought death. They came together when she believed what he said. We all know that. They united and brought in the product of death when they united. Death is a product of uniting Satan and Eve together. And Eve had the word. Satan is against the word. And look, almost 99 and 99 one-hundredths of it, Satan admitted was right. So close. The Bible said in the last days would deceive the very elected if it was possible. See how it comes in, how it's always been, how it's going out. The same way, united of unbelief in all the full word of God. You got it. How many times he screamed that to people? How many thousands of times he screamed it before people? That you have to take all the words. You got it. That's what brought death, is uniting unbelief with the word. Trying to believe, but just leave out a little bit. Unbelief, just a little bitty part of it. Little bitty, teeny part. 0.01%. It was just 0.01%. That's all. And notice, God's daughter, the church, the bride, is also a product of God and his word uniting. So now we're talking about another product. This is life here. The Holy Spirit uniting in a body of flesh. It produced the Son of God, a product of the righteousness of God. When that Holy Spirit touched that word that was the Son, and it brought him into being, it was a product of the righteousness of God. And in the last day, as we're told, as it was in the days of Sodom, the bride will be united by the word of God made manifest in the flesh. Boy, don't that sound like an Eliezer? Sounds like an Eliezer to me. What did Brother Bram say? He had that scripture blown open on his Bible. I'm pretty sure that's the one that came open to go get my son a bride. As it was in the days of Sodom, the bride will be united by the word of God made manifest in flesh. The Holy Spirit sealing them in to God and sealing unbelief out on the outside. And as I said, if the life of Beethoven was in you, you would live like Beethoven. If the life of Hitler was in you, you'd live like Hitler. And when the life of Christ is in you, you'll live like Christ. And the works of Christ you do. There's no way around it, brother and sister. And Christ is not worried about this present world. And that'll be, if Christ lived today, he would do exactly what the word said he would do today. And the word said that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why can't the blind ecclesiastical world see the time that we're living? See, Eve caused all physical death by trying to inject some heresy of Satan into the word. Watch him going back and forth between what happens when you're united with Christ and what happens when you are trying to unite with Christ, but just leave off just a little bit. Going back and forth, trying to get people to see the contrast. By trying to inject some heresy of Satan into the word. And that's the same thing that happened to the church at Nicaea, Rome, by taking dogmas instead of the word. That's the same thing in the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian. As the light springs forth in each age, they turn it down. That's the reason the Lutheran died when Wesley rose up. It was in another age. The word come forth and they had to accept it or die. That's the reason that the Pentecostals are dying now. Dying now because they won't accept what God's put forth. They're dying because they won't accept it. That's what he just said. That's the reason that the Pentecostals are dying now, because the age is here. The word has been made manifest. The eagle time, the time of the word to return back to restore the faith of the Father back to the children again. And they're so united, they turn it down. And it ain't nothing but spiritual death. God's body united as his bride being one. Him and Christ together is the spirit working in the flesh of the church like it worked on the flesh of Jesus Christ, because it's part of his body. Not twain, but one. They are one. And Brother Branham said it wasn't one like your finger. They both have the same spirit. A husband and wife is no longer two, but one. And Christ in his body is one. And the same spirit was in Christ, in his bride, in his body, that unites them together with all the word. See that? With all the word. How can it do that when all the word was, if all the word wasn't there and we were still waiting for a seal to be opened? We're still waiting for the thunders. People talk about they got rapture and faith. Well, rapture and faith has to come from a message, people. Why don't they have the, why haven't, yeah, I'm not even going to, it's just a fleshly argument. You know, they talk about having the rapturing faith. Well, where does the rapturing faith come from? You have to have a revelation of the rapture before you can have rapturing faith. That's what it is. In his body that unites them together with all the word. And God living in there himself, manifesting it. God living in there himself manifesting it. We got to wake up to that, church. Now wake up, shake yourself right quick, and look out here where we're at. Where are we? Like those wise men, we're right in line with his word, and the light of the word, Lord, is shining upon our path. Glory be to God in the highest, and glory be to God who give us Jesus Christ, who we love, and has brought us to this place. We are his people, bought with the price of his blood. Oh my, when the united time comes, we're looking like we united with one another in the bonds of his spirit. We're looking, comma, like we united with one another in the bonds of his spirit. Can it be his spirit? Sure, it's his spirit. Why is it? It's his word. That is the spirit of the word. And when that spirit of promise comes upon you and vindicates, brings you to pass, the rest, the word comes on that, the spirit, the dynamics comes on the mechanics, it produces it. Promise comes upon you and vindicates and shows itself right there. Is that the same spirit? It was the one that was with Moses in the wilderness. It was the one that upon Jesus Christ. He's the one met Saul on the road to Damascus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he does the same thing. He anoints the people for that age, and he brings them to pass. They're the word for that age. They're that unwritten word for that age that Brother Don was talking about. You know, it's written in the Bible that he's your healer. But it's not got a list of the thousands and thousands of people that are healed through that scripture. That's God interpreting that word over and over and over and over again. He's the one who has to do that. And we should be expecting him to do it. All right. We see the nations together. We see the church heads together. We see communism together. We see isms uniting. We see all these things. And now we see the bride uniting with the word. Oh my. It's time that the saints will arise to unite with those that are living. It's time. Because we see the bride here uniting with the Word. It's time that those will rise. Brother, sister, he's telling us flat out what's going on, and people are missing it. Right? He's telling us. If this bride is uniting with the Word now, then that bride is uniting with the Word now. They're being caught together in Christ. You see that? It's an invisible union. It's invisible to other people. That person's just crazy. But he just got married to God. You see the nations together. We got that. The bride uniting with the Word. Oh my, it's time that the saints shall rise to unite with those that are living, to go and unite with Jesus Christ for eternity. May God help us, everyone, to unite with Christ tonight. Surrender our everything that we are, everything that we have, our soul, body, and mind to Jesus Christ. And look for the time of that uniting. He just said it was happening. So he's telling you, look for your place in that that's taking place. And when the trumpet of God shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the dead in Christ shall rise and gather over on the other shore yonder with the bride that's alive to be caught up together. Look at the uniting. God uniting the church with his Word. He united them with part of it through the church ages. But this is the eighth day, and it's not counted with the church ages. This is something else altogether. This is an eternity. God united with the church, not in the church, with his Word, the Word with the church, that they both become the same. They become the same, brother and sister. Say this and it'll happen. Do this and it'll happen. This is it. This is me before you. This is me proving it. This is me with you. See, that's God talking right there. All those things talking in you. But these things aren't going to happen if we're not expecting them to happen. If we're not looking for it. This is recognized in your day in its message. We find that now the time comes when the trumpet sounds. And those sleeping saints back when? We find that now the time comes when the trumpet sounds. And these sleeping saints back there that could not be made perfect without us. See the uniting of the bride here. That's the making perfect. Now they're coming in. This is it. Look at uniting. Let's see. I lost my spot here. We're dependent on us. Hebrews 11. And when they come together, they unite with the living ones. The church uniting with the Word. So what are we doing? We're uniting with the Word. We're uniting with Christ. And they're uniting with Christ. Remember what they told Brother Branham when he went over there? He said he's just a little bit higher. Why? Why was he just a little bit higher? They were in their theophanies. That's what he said. They were there in their bodies. But he said, he's not here. He's a little bit higher. And when he comes, he'll come to you first. Brother, there was no part of this brother's ministry that doesn't mean something.
Amen.
And when you're a son of God, there's no part of your life that don't mean something. Brother Ram said, there is no chips that come off that diamond that he's not using. They're all, he's using them all. He can't have, Christ didn't put himself in you not to do anything, just to sit there. He's going to act. Like Brother Branham went to the museum that day, and they were talking about Jonah, and he was talking about the whale. And he said he was making fun of the story, called it a myth. Jonah, the story, and Brother Branham was standing there. That's talking about bad timing. That was a bad time to be calling the Bible a myth. And Brother Branham stopped him right there. Now, he might have not one time, but this time he did. And he said,
I'll have you know that the Bible doesn't say it was a whale. He said, you need to read your Bible. He said it says a specially prepared fish. And the man would argue with him, but there was no ground for him to stand on. He done messed up. But anyways, what I'm saying is that word was standing there, and God said, say something. Yeah. And so he said something. If it was for no reason, then to come back to the church and tell the people.
Amen.
So there was some reason there. I don't know.
Right.
We don't question it. That's what Brother Ram said. So many times you'll see it there. Where so many times he said Moses said something and didn't know what he was going to say next. Brother Ram said he said something. He didn't know what he was going to say next. Over and over it happened. That's surrendered, brother. That's not reasoning it out. If I say this, then what am I going to say next? And argue with it. Brother Ram said that's not the ground he's going to come to. That's not prepared. Ground that's going to argue with him, he's not coming to that. Because that's not dead. It's not put this man aside. And this means more than anything else. All right. They're depending on us. And when they come together, they unite with the living ones. The church uniting with the word. When the church and the word uniting together, becoming one. The dead saints with the light living saints united together to be one. And all going together to unite with Christ yonder for the wedding supper of the Lamb. See, those that are dead and gone on are in the wedding supper. And we claim to be in the wedding supper. So they're here with us.
Amen.
Brother Ram said, your theophany is not 20 feet from you. And we'll just take that. We'll go on here. Works is faith expressed. And if you have time to read this message, listen to this message. This is a great message. It is a really good message. And faith, now listen to what he says now. I'm going to hit some highlights. I've been bearing down on about faith and about you can't have faith unless God gives you faith. And I hear this statement about that Brother Branham made a bunch of times. But I think people might be misinterpreting it. And it's open for interpretation if you won't take the rest of the word. If you want to just take that one thing and focus on it. But it says, Brother Branham said a bunch of times, probably 20, 30 times at least, that the right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. Is that the truth? Did he say that? It's absolutely the truth. The problem is what we want to start interpreting the right mental attitude is. That's the problem right there. We got to let the prophet tell us what that right mental attitude is and where it comes from. You can't find in the message, Brother Branham said, Moses did what he did because God told him to do it. Revelation. He said Joshua did it because God told him to do it. Daniel did it because God told him to do it. Everybody in there, he did it because God told him to do it. Brother Branham said, I was reading that story, and I didn't even know it, but you know the little boy from Finland that got run over and that he got raised from the dead? Well, they hit two boys when that happened. And one was over on the side nearly dead. And then the boy that was raised from the dead was on the other side. He was dead. And Brother Branham prayed. When he finally recognized who it was, he wasn't going to do nothing. He was going to pray, but he wasn't going to pray and ask for that boy's life back without being told. If he did, he would break the scripture. Because Christ did nothing unless his Father first showed him. And we can't do it either. It's that there's where Satan sneaks in right there. Now I'm going to read it to you. God is the one who creates that right mental attitude. That right mental attitude is prepared ground, and that's predestination. So you can't have the right mental attitude unless God prepares that right mental attitude. I'm going to read it to you. All right. Now faith is a revelation from God
Faith is a revelation. There's where I want to stay. There, just a minute. It's a revelation. How much faith? All of it. And who gives faith? Do you give yourself faith? All right, you're not going to give yourself the right mental attitude either. God's going to prepare that. There's where I want to stay. There, just a minute. It's a revelation. You couldn't save yourself, could you? You ain't going to heal yourself. You're not going to do anything that's God's word. You're not going to manifest one bit of God's word unless He does it in you. It's God's word. He interprets His word, not us. We have to get that in our heads, because if we don't, Satan will mess things up. And he wants to mess up any little thing he can. He wants you to take one little thing to yourself, because that's his gospel. His gospel is self. And he'll sell it to you in 100 different packages. Believe me, brother, I've come through at least 25 or 30 of those packages. He'll try to sell you self in 100 different ways. The minute he gets you to believe that you have something to do, that you got a little piece of it. Now, I'm going to tell you what you do have to do, but I'm talking about starting things. You don't just go out and claim this and claim that. Not unless God tells you to. If he did, Brother Branham lied when he stood there and said, "I'm just a man. I can't heal him." He told that other parent, he said, "But they said you healed the other one." He said, "I did that because God told me to do that." He said, "I can't just do this because I decided to do it." He said, "I'm a man." He said, "If I could do it and I wouldn't do it, there'd be something wrong with me." He said, "I can't just do it. God has to do it." But Brother Ram said, once God told him, he'd go invite the world to watch it. Yeah. See, there's where you got. Because he's going to tell you something, and it might be real crazy. Like we were talking last Sunday about Naaman, I think it was Brother Goomba told me, it was Naaman that went down and dipped 7 times in the river. And he didn't want to dip. Brother Goomba was talking about it was shameful to go down there and dip in that river. Evidently, I don't know what was wrong with it. And then every time he dipped, he was done told 7 times. And he had to do it 7 times. And he was going to do it 7 times. But every one of them times was a battle, brother and sister. It was a battle. But God had told him what to do. God had given him what he needed. Now he had to hold on to it. Brother Branham says this. It's a revelation. He has revealed it to you by his grace. And if faith is that, it's that way all the time. You will never have faith that didn't come by him revealing it by grace. Yeah. It's nothing you did. Did you hear that? Don't miss that. Because Satan was like, he'll start pointing his finger at you. You didn't this and you didn't that. If you'd have done this and you'd have done this and you'd have done that. He wants you to look at you. That's his trick. He wants you to look at you. I can't say that enough. He tears people apart every day, pointing his finger at them. You remember the one that Brother Branham talked about, the one that was in the barn that night working? And he walked up to him and he said, "Brother, why don't you, you know, get," he said, "don't you have any hope?" And he said, "Well, yeah," he said, "I've been going to go to church," he said, "when I quit the smoking, I'll go down there." See that? Satan was telling him that because he couldn't quit his smoking, he couldn't go down to service. You see that? He's placing something on that man that it was that man's responsibility to do that. But Brother Branham knew if that word ever struck that seed down in there, that seed would take care of it. It would force it out.
Amen.
What did he say? The dove cleans itself from the inside out. And so he told him, he said, "Stop, don't stop. And he said, his family's there looking at him kind of funny that he told them that. "Don't stop sinning. Just come on and be baptized.
Yeah.
He had to quit looking at himself and look at his Savior. And that's the way healing is. You have to quit looking at you and the circumstances and look to him. God reveals it to you. Therefore, faith is a revelation. The whole church of God is built upon revelation. Not only is you going to get faith to have a healing, but everything he does in his church is built on that same thing. Now, just a little ways down, paragraph 117. In an audience of people where a prayer line come through, you'll find some, and they're all good people, we'll say. There's some that's trying hard to believe it. They're trying hard to believe it. Trying to work themselves into it. They don't understand it. See, Satan's already put it on them, and they're trying to make it happen. Some just can't do it at all. And others, it's just by grace, it's just given to them. Prepared ground, brother. He's only going to come to prepared ground. Predestinated. Now, there is the difference, see? That does it. That's the real revelation. Because faith is a revelation of God, it must be revealed first. Jesus clearly expressed this when he said, no man can come to me except my... See, he's going to give us a good example. Watch. That you can't come and have this faith unless God draws you to have faith. And he says, Jesus clearly expressed this when he said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first or reveals me to him first. You ought to read that. It's St. James, St. John 6:44-46. And they don't know who he was. They thought he was just an ordinary man. They thought him just to be, as people does today, some prophet. He was the prophet. He was an ordinary man, but there was more than that. Just like the last night speaking. Now, I think what he preached the night before was trying to do God a service without it being his will. When you get the book, you're going to... No, this is something else. I had another quote and I pulled that one out. This is about the book. Now, what made him think about the book? He went right straight to this book. Now, he just gave us a comparison of two kinds of people. Some trying and some can't even do it. And others just by grace is given to them. And then he goes to this book. The book of redemption. When you get the book, you're going to see maybe a little confusion there of what I said. The two books of life. It's the same book. But, one of them is your natural life. One of them is your natural life. Your natural birth, I'm sorry. The other one is your spiritual birth. One of them sinned and could be forgiven, but the other one never sinned. You see that? You see why he had to go get the book at the end of the church ages? The other one is your spiritual birth. One leads out to the other one. Your natural birth leads out to that spiritual birth. Just like a stalk of wheat. Just like the church was. Just like that church through the church ages led out to Christ. Whenever you talk to me, you talk to me as a living person. But there's a part of me here is that person that must perish. That's the book that the name comes off of. That's that natural book. And these people are trying to have faith with a natural faith. It don't work. But that name comes off of. But the eternal one, the predestinated one, the elected one, the other part of the book, the name can never come from there Because it was always on it. It never sinned, remember? It can never be taken off. You'll notice it in the book. So to save your confusion, you'll find it that way. Because I think Brother Vail, who put the right grammar to it, reminded me of it today. I said, that's right. The Baptists believe that's two separate books. And in one way, it is two separate books. In another way, it isn't two separate books. I'm two separate people. I'm body and soul and spirit, three separate people. But only one makes me a real being. Remember what Brother Branham said? There is all the time while he was a sinner, all the time there was another William Branham down in there. See those two books? The old soul and the new soul? You can forgive that old soul, but it still done it. You see what I'm saying? That's the book that he tears out when you're born again. There's only one real book of life. This is how you're conformed, see, to his image. And where it said in the very beginning that we were predestinated to be conformed to his image, that's where it was in that book of your spiritual life. That's where it was wrote. I'm two separate people. I'm sorry, got that. There's only one real book of life. Like there's one germ of wheat that come up through the stalk and went through the tassel and out through the husk and into the wheat. All the way along there, you say, now that's a wheat land there. It isn't the wheat. It's the stalk. But together it's the wheat, see? It's the wheat because it's all one stalk. But the wheat is what you're talking about. The grain at the end of it. See, that life that comes at the end of it. That union that comes at the end. The others was a carrier that must perish. That first book has got to perish. And that's the one place, sounds like you can have your name taken off the Lamb's Book of Life. And the other place, you can't do it. And he's telling them why that is. So that's where it is. It's all in that great revelation, which was made known during the time of the seven seals. So we didn't know this before the seals were open. It was after the seals were open before we knew about this book of life and how one was natural and one was spiritual and how one could be taken off and one could never be taken off. Why is it? How some people can't believe it. That's why. Because their name isn't on that spiritual book. No man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And all that my Father has given me will come to me. No man can understand who he is or how it is, except it be revealed to you by the revelation of God. He said it again. And then faith in that, you act accordingly. See, here we see plainly that God is revealed in Jesus. And only those who are foreordained to see it will see it. Be sure to read the scripture. I omitted it then, that St. John 6:44-46. I omitted it because I thought maybe we'd have maybe not enough time to go through because the clock there just keeps moving. You notice, no man can come except my Father draws him first. And all that the Father has given me, they will come. They'll recognize it. God will light that up and they'll see it. They'll recognize it. No other man can do it. No other person, no matter how good, who they are, it's got to be revealed to you. Then you see who Jesus Christ is. Now, further on down, he says, if you try to reason it out, what if this man, this woman, or this man sitting here, or somebody trying to reason, and I've been crippled all these years, and the doctor says there's not a possible chance. That's what he's thinking in his mind. He's not crazy like he talked about the other ones. The other ones he said were crazy because they were ready to accept that God could heal them. This one, he's reasoning it out. Well, that might not be as far as he knowed, and that's true. But if something can tear away those weeds, Brother Ram said one time, Let the Holy Spirit tell you you're wrong. Let the Holy Spirit tell you you're scripturally wrong. And if there's a seed down in there, it'll start to rip away that type of thinking. And that type of thinking will start to go away. And God will put back a real, genuine faith life back. If something can tear away the weeds, if God, by His grace, not the preacher, not nobody else, but God can place in your heart a revelation that I'm going to get well. There isn't nothing going to keep you sitting there. There's nothing can hold you there. You're going to be well. But until that does happen, you're going to sit right where the doctor says you're going to sit until that happens. It has to be revealed. It's the grace of God that reveals it. Amen. Like I said, if I sounded hard or mean or angry, I'm not. But I feel really, whenever you battle through things, I remember years ago when when I first started reading Romans there, and I first started to really live my life for Christ. I was about 30. And when I did, I started reading the scriptures, and I seen all this grace everywhere. Grace for me, you know, and then I looked for Him. And all these years, all I had got in my flesh, all I had got was, if I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I don't do this, then I'm lost. Somehow or another, that wasn't what I was being preached to. The truth was getting preached, but somehow Satan had just focused that, so that that's all I heard. And so I don't want anybody to have to go through that. If you're going to have to go through it, you're going to go through it whether I say anything or not. But maybe I can save you something to make you stop, go pray, say, Lord, don't let me look at myself for nothing. But at the same time, just as hard as you don't look at yourself, you have to look at Him harder. Trust Him more. Put it all on Him. And if I know that if you're going to come and sit and listen to me, and I'm not no preacher, if you're going to come listen to me speak, that you must care about this message, because I'm a pretty poor speaker. But you love this message. And if you love this message, it ain't because Chris is a good speaker or a bad speaker or not. It's because something in you, when the word strikes, it makes you want it and hunger for it so much. That's the real right there. That's how God builds His church right there. And just keep on expecting Him to do it. Because He draws you. That's what it is. He draws you. Who creates that hunger in you for more? It's God. Oh, I hope you don't feel like I beat you on the head tonight, because that was not my intention whatsoever. I just don't know how to say it any more than ways than I've already said it. If you keep looking, if you have some fault, as the scripture says, some besetting sin that just keeps hanging around and won't go away. If you have that, realize that you are never going to conquer that yourself. And at the same time you realize that you ain't going to conquer that, realize who is going to conquer it. Who said He's already conquered it? And turn your eyes to Him, to take it from Him. Let Him give it to you. It's His. It's His battle. You know, we've heard it so many times. It's His battle. So I appreciate y'all listening. I appreciate this message so much. I tell you, I remember Brother Holmes a year or so before he died. Every so often he'd say, Brother Chris, I just sit there and read for hours and hours and hours. He said, I just can't get enough. And I know what he means. You get in that message, Satan will fight you tooth and nail to keep you out of that message. And he'll fight you harder to keep you out of prayer. Believe me. I heard Brother Branham today come to him and said, "Brother, will you eat just a little something?" He hadn't ate for days, I guess. And he said, "No." He said, "The Holy Spirit doesn't want me to eat." I thought, oh. But I just think about it. You look through that message. If that was a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man, then how can we act any different? We're going to have the same life in us. And he's promised it. And I believe he's given it to us. But I don't know how to say it any other way. If we don't care enough about it, then I doubt very seriously that you have it. You know what I'm saying? If everything else means more to you, that you don't have 5 minutes for him or 10 minutes for him or an hour for him every day. I mean, all he asked from Adam and Eve was to walk with him in the cool of the evening every day. Can we give him that at least? Can we walk with him? If you don't want to do that, then I seriously, seriously doubt that you have the love of God in you. I don't care how much you think you like this message. If you don't want to spend time with God, something is wrong. I say that in love, okay? I'm not trying to be mean or nasty, but if you don't want to spend time with him, something's wrong. If he's in your heart, you just can't wait to get in there and spend some time with him. Satan will fight the flesh, but you know what's waiting if you get past that. Find it. Find that time to spend with him. All right. I'm through fussing for tonight. Anyways, I,